Amen. We're in a series entitled Seven Superpowers. We've talked about outrageous grace, death-defying courage, mountain-moving faith, hilarious generosity, overpowering goodness, and today we're going to be talking about earth-shaking prayer. Earth-shaking prayer. Now, when crises arise in our life, we're prone to respond in one way or the other. I want to ask you some questions. Do you tend to respond in fear or in faith? When crunch time comes, do you tend to shut down or step up? When the pressure's on, do you tend to dive for the dumpster, escape into some distraction, or make your way to the throne room to talk to God? And the truth is, every person in the room, we're going to be given toward one of those directions when hard times come, when someone's mad at us, or someone mistreats us. The early Christians and the early church, they were no different than we. But this morning, we're going to look at an account in the book of Acts where crisis time came, and we're going to see what they did. And I want to tell you something. They responded in a way that resulted in God using what the enemy was trying to do to shut them down, to take them to an entirely new level of the supernatural. We find this in Acts chapter 4. And I'll be sharing these scriptures with you just in a moment. Acts chapter 4. This is after the day of Pentecost. We find in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are making their way back to the temple. There's a man who's about 40 years of age. He's been lame in his feet all his life. In other words, he had never walked. Can you imagine what his emaciated legs looked like? And yet in a moment, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, these men of God declared healing over him in the name of Jesus. And he leaped to his feet. He's running around, leaping like a deer. That creates no small stir. It gathers a crowd. What happened to this man? We've seen him for years. Look at him. He's made well and whole. That was the opportunity to announce that this man had been made whole in the name of Jesus. But it made the devil mad. It made religion mad. You see, when the devil begins to move in persecution, the Spirit of God will begin to move in power if we respond correctly. When religion rises up to shut things down, the Holy Spirit will move through the church to rise up to take things to a higher level. All depends on how we respond. Well, what did they do? How did they respond? Because you and I, too, face days when we're being opposed, when we don't know what we're going to do. It's like we're in an emergency session. Well, we're going to learn some truths today that work for them, and they'll work for us, too. Acts chapter 4, after this miracle happened and the religious leaders became angered, Peter and John were taken in, they were arrested, they were questioned, and they boldly said, "We didn't do this. This man was made whole in the name of Jesus." They had a discussion, and then they reached a conclusion, and they told Peter and John, "No more. We command you. You will speak nor preach anymore in this name." Now, isn't it interesting that the very thing Jesus charged the church to do right before he ascended is to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and to go into all the world and preach Jesus. Now, the very thing that they are being told they cannot do is to preach Jesus. So the question is, what are they going to do about it? We join the story at verse 23 of Acts 4. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, yep, they're naming names, against Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Two verses later, the summary statement, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. It's like the devil had them cornered. They prayed the right prayer. God did checkmate. And what follows was absolutely, supernaturally spectacular. And I'll talk about that as we proceed on. We see here that prayer was the key that unlocked things to the next level for this church in the time of crisis. It's interesting, we are not told that when this opposition arose, and there's three truths that I want to talk, I'm going to gather my thoughts around these three truths. And the first one is that, as they did, you will face opposition. You will. And what's interesting is the apostles did not come back to the church and say, hey, we've been told we can't speak and preach anymore, so get your signs out, get your spray paint ready, we're going to start a protest, see if we can change it. They didn't do that. Now, there may be times that such a thing is an all right thing to do, but that's not what they did. Neither did they come back and make their report and say, sorry, but we thought this was a God idea, but it's not working. Pack it up. We got to go. They didn't do that. That's kind of the way we think at times. How can I do something in the natural to fix this? Or, I don't even want to be in this fight. I'm out of here. They came to the Lord and began to pray. Prayer may be the most unused resource in the average Christian's life. Oh my, at the forfeited blessings that pile up because of unprayed prayers. So what I'm saying right on the threshold of this message as we start this journey this morning is that there may very well be an answer that comes knocking at your door to help you with the problem you're facing, the dilemma you're in, the burden you're bearing, the opposition coming against you. That answer may come when the prayer that needs to be prayed leaves your lips. You will face opposition. Paul wrote a young pastor by the name of Timothy, and he says, all those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, I'm not talking about persecution that comes against believers because they're behaving like the world and losing their temper and getting angry. I've seen people do that, act absolutely ungodly and unchristian, and then claim that the response they're getting is persecution. That, he said, all those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer. The kind of persecution he's talking about, bad things are happening because the right things are being done in your life. Most new believers find out rather quickly that doing the right thing doesn't always mean that trouble vacates the premises. As a matter of fact, trouble will come looking for you when you are living a life looking for God in everything that you do. And the early church faced that. Peter and John were going to pray. That's a great thing to do. So they were going to do it. And on the way, they allowed a need the Holy Spirit made them aware of to be addressed. A miracle happened, and then the enemy begins to unleash from religious headquarters this persecution to shut them down. So new believers learn pretty quickly that there's opposition when you start trying to live your life a different way. Sometimes it can be from very religious people. Sometimes it can come from those who were your friends on the other side of your salvation because they don't understand the Bible. Listen, we need to understand they don't understand. The Bible says what we're embracing and how we're living is foolishness to them. So we have to understand that they don't understand. And that's the reason Jesus said when they curse you, you bless them. It'll whet their hunger to have what you have because that's not natural. That's supernatural. So you will face opposition. It's just par for the course in the Christian fairway. That's just the way it is. Often when God begins manifesting, devils begin manifesting. Jesus, all he had to do was walk into town and people with devils in them begin screaming out. Why? Because their territory was being threatened by his mere presence. And when we become more like Jesus, we become a threat to territory held by the enemy. I'll repeat that. When we begin to live like Jesus lived, we too become a threat to territory held by the enemy. And so opposition will rise up to try to shut you down. And that's when they lift their voices up against you, you lift your voices up to the Lord. That's what the church did. This is the early church. This is the pattern. This is the model. This is the truth. Notice what it says. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. These chief priests and elders, this was the early Jewish church, the Christian church, but they were, for the most part, Jews, Jewish proselytes that had been converted to Christ. These people who were now harassing them and threatening them were their former religious leaders. They knew them, but they were being persecuted by them. You may be here this morning, and maybe your family's having a hard time understanding why you're into this, quote, Jesus thing. You may have lost your job because you didn't want to do that shady thing that they wanted you to do. There's a sacrifice often required to live for Jesus Christ. Again, to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. I do want to note that what they were being asked to do was a non-negotiable. I think it's important for me to bring this out. They could not negotiate as to whether or not they would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the charge to the church. If we're not doing that, we're not being the church. If we're not exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not doing what we've been charged to do. All this trouble was created over what had taken place through the name of Jesus. They commanded them not to speak nor preach anymore in the name of Jesus. In other words, you can't do anything where you're representing Jesus to people. You can do what you want to, but you can't do anything that you're going to attach His name to. You can't be doing anything that you're going to give Him the credit for doing it. And I don't think sometimes we understand the gravity and the weight on our prayers when we say, in Jesus' name. Jesus charged the disciples, hence He charged the church, in My name you will heal the sick. In My name you will cast out devils. In My name you will speak in new tongues. These are the commands of Scripture. In My name. That means to do it in Jesus' name means it's the same as if Jesus were doing it. It means you are serving as His representative, enforcing His word on His behalf as His body in the earth. In that sense, when we corporately come into agreement, then I believe that's a new level of anointing. And we see that happening here. In My name. Listen, if the church is not lifting up the name of Jesus, then we are not representing Him well. When we enter our new building upon completion, and you walk in the front doors into our commons area, you're going to see on the wall that faces you when you walk through those doors, the name Jesus. In letters 30 inches high and His name spelled out 10 feet wide. Jesus. Under that, in like 18-inch letters, you will see, name above all names. Under that, Philippians 2:9. We prayed and we're seeking and saying that, you know, at the end of the day, this is a non-negotiable. We exist to make Him known. In this chapter, in Acts chapter 4, it is declared, there is salvation in no other name other than the name of Jesus. That's why we're here, to exalt Him, to lift Him up, to share His gospel, to make Him known. That's what we're about. That's our vision. He's the person of our purpose. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But when you stand on that ground of truth and you proclaim that name, there will be times when all hell will break loose to try to back you off and shut you down. The church can do anything else out there, as long as she's not declaring and lifting up Jesus Christ. Because when that happens, devils flee, devils tremble. Nothing will happen except it be in His name. In His name. He said, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it. You understand that? It will be done for you. Something will be done that you could never do. Something will be done that you can't do for yourself. It's something that will be powerful. It will be supernatural. Jesus. So you will face opposition. But that means that you will have an opportunity. Notice the next verse. So when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And he goes on from there. And I'll bring some of that out in a moment. What I want you to see here is they made the decision that the right response to the wrong decisions by the chief elders and so forth, the right response was to go to God with it in prayer. They prayed. And we have to learn to adjust our lives to live the same way. If something's going to come out of our mouth about a situation, the smart thing is to let the first thing coming out of your mouth is, Lord, I need to talk to you about something. To bring it before Him. If there's some opposition between you and your spouse in your marriage, sometimes before you speak to him or her, speak to God. If it's your children, same thing. We can avoid a lot of disruption by choosing to intercede before we condemn. Intercede before we judge. Move toward God before we move toward someone else. So, opposition becomes an opportunity for us when we see it in this way. Because it's an indicator. If opposition is coming your way because you're doing the will of God, then that becomes a new opportunity. And it's hard for us to see these things this way. And I'm not saying you should pray for them, but I'm saying you just to have a spiritual perspective. Okay, this is something that God can. This is an opportunity for God to do something. The cross itself, all those disciples were seeing their Lord crucified. They didn't understand what was going on. It's like Judas has betrayed him. And they're scattering like a covey of quail. And all this happens and now he's dead. But the truth is, they shared here in this prayer, Lord, when all this happened with Jesus and it came his way, we realized you were at work in it. You were doing something. They realized God is sovereign. So whatever's coming against you, God's not caught off guard by it. God's not disabled by it. God's not without the ability to help you because of what's happening. So it's important to have that kind of faith in God. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And the way we process all this is in prayer. We go to God with it. And then in this prayer, as they're praying, they get to the place where they literally ask for the power to keep doing what got them in trouble in the first place. And when the answer came, they got more power to do what they were doing that got them into the trouble they were in. Who's that make sense to? Well, it makes sense to the believer when he realizes God is the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. And if you go with God, you're going to be all right. And they realized that. And they realized it was a non-negotiable. We can't stop preaching and speaking in His name. We would cease to be who He created us to be if we did so. There are some non-negotiables. Now, I think sometimes the church can involve herself in lesser battles over things we're not even really sure about, much less it being a non-negotiable. And the enemy loves anything to distract us, but we must never get to the place where we are failing to preach Jesus and lift Him up always. Because when we do, we are a pitiful, powerless people. This is an opportunity when opposition comes. So, when Mickey and I lived in Haleville is known, just about an hour down the road here, as the home of 911. When we went to pastor there, that was kind of like the name and fame of Haleville. The first 911 call that was ever made in the whole wide world was made on a telephone, a red telephone. They have in their little museum down there now. That's the first place the first 911 call was made. And it rang out from there. And this was like, this prayer meeting was like a 911 call. And they knew God would answer. And they knew help would come. Now I want to ask you something. And I am so appreciative and grateful for all of our emergency personnel in our city, whether it be policemen, firemen, our
you know, EMT paramedics, ambulance people, and so forth. What a service they do for our city. And I want to tell you something. I have a high degree of confidence that in the event I need them, if I dial 911 and I hang up the phone, I know it's just going to be a little bit, I'm going to hear some sirens. Have you noticed that? I mean, you usually don't call and think, oh, who else can call? I'm going to go ahead and call Huntsville too, and I'm going to call. No, you know they're coming. Experience has taught you they're coming, and they're going to help. They're going to do, sometimes they'll risk their own lives to help you. And if we got that kind of confidence in mere men, how much more should we believe in our Father God that when we go to prayer and punch 911 for Him, He's coming. You know, we use that Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me. God says this. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. That's the 911 passage right there. That's what they're doing. And God showed up. So I just want to encourage everyone in the room. You know, when the water level's rising and it looks like you're about to drown with something going on, pray about it. Get with some other folks. Pray about it. And I thank God for the fact we have a praying congregation. I know we have like at least three different groups that meet during the week and pray. And we have small groups that when they're together, they pray. And I love that. I love that about you people. This is a praying church. Why? Because we know God hears and answers prayer. That's the reason we have altar time at the end of every service. We believe that when you come forward with a need, somebody can get into agreement with you and pray for you. God might even show them something, give them a scripture you need to pray, show them something you need to deal with. It's amazing the supernatural things that can happen up here during altar time when people are praying together. Burdens are lifted. We've seen healings. We've seen deliverances. We've seen breakthroughs. Why? Because of the power of prayer. So, realize if you're in a situation where you're being opposed and going through something, you're not alone. It's actually an opportunity for you to partner with God and go to a new level with Him. And I am so grateful for that. I want you to notice that as you read these scriptures about what they prayed, it was a prayer of praise. They started out just by praise. You made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. They just started out praising and exalting God. You see, they got in trouble for magnifying and exalting Jesus. And so the enemy began to rise up and magnify himself through religion to try to shut them down. So they get in a prayer meeting and they just start magnifying their God. It was a prayer of praise. It was also a prayer based on a prophetic word. They reached back to what the psalmist had said a long time ago in the Old Testament. They used that word as a basis for their prayer. And they're basically, when they're praying, they're saying, Lord, You prophesied this would happen. You prophesied they would rise up against your Christ and His anointing. And now they are commanding us not to speak and preach in the name of your holy servant, Jesus. It's like they're using the word for a springboard. Like, okay, Lord, you knew this was going to happen and that there was going to be opposition. Now, behold their threats. Now we get to see their resolve. It's interesting that this was kind of a sikkim prayer. Lord, behold their threats. You hear what they're saying? They're saying, we're not to preach or speak about Jesus. We're not to be into Jesus or make Him known or any of that. They're saying we can't do that anymore. I know you're hearing this, and behold, in other words, pay attention to this, Lord. Now, they didn't go on to say, take them out. But the next thing they said is, behold their threat. And grant to us boldness that we may preach. Again, they're asking for the power to do the very thing that got them in the
troubled waters in the first place. That's amazing to me. More power, Lord. More power. It was a Sikkim prayer. But it was also a prayer of resolve. When I say Sikkim, it's not necessarily retaliation. But it's just like, Lord, we know you're seeing all this. But we're not going to do what we've been commanded to do. We're going to keep preaching Jesus. And we need boldness to do it. Reminds me of that kind of resolve. It's like we know the right thing to do and we need your help, Lord. Because we're going to do the right thing. Reminds me of Job. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. It reminds me of the three Hebrew children. Whether or not our God answers this prayer, we are not going to bow to these idols. Lord, behold their threats. We're not to preach anymore, but we're going to keep preaching. We need boldness. They had resolve. They knew what they were created to do. They knew the right thing to do. They just wanted some Holy Ghost backing to go do it. And I want to tell you, they got it in spades. They got it by the ton because God heard them. So this is also what I call a gurgle prayer. You know what a gurgle prayer is? You remember Peter when he's bold and he stepped out on water and he's walking on water. Then he got distracted and he began to sink. Gurgle prayer. Lord, help me. And the Lord rescued him. Those prayers are heard by God too. So you see so much passion. You see so much emotion. You see so much pressure surrounding this situation they're in. But they are praying the right prayer. And they're asking for the right thing because they're committed to do the right thing. When all that comes together, heaven hears. And earth responds. And we're going to talk about that now. How earth responds. It's like the atmosphere shifts. I mean, the place started to shake where they were praying. That's a pretty good confirmation, right? Lord, behold their threats. Grant us boldness by stretching forth your hand to heal and to do signs and wonders. Because we're going to preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Building starts shaking. You remember a few Sundays back, it was a service. Something unusual happened. And it's not that unusual for something unusual to take place here. I understand that. But that Sunday, it was unusual for me because the Spirit of God came on me. And it's just like I was thrust into this militant time of praying in tongues. And it was like, when it was over, it was like, what did I just do? You know, what, you know, like, I told someone, I wonder how many people I ran away today, you know. But it was just, it was such a God thing when it was happening. It's undeniable. I want to give you the behind the curtain story of what was going on. It became clearer to me over the next 24 hours after it happened. On the Saturday, the day before that service, I got a phone call from Bishop Kyle Searcy. Kyle is one of our apostolic advisors here at Grace House. He's one of my very best friends. He and I talk together almost every few days, and we pray a lot together. And we've just got that kind of relationship, and like a brother from another mother kind of thing. And so we have a lot of fun with it. But he called, and he was calling to talk to me about something going on. And when I answered and started talking, he said, wow. He said, as soon as you started talking, I had this vision. He said, I just took my hand, put it over your head, and just went like I was shooing something away. You know, just like, shoo. And And I thought, well, I understand that, like shooing flies. And, you know, immediately I'm thinking, well, Beelzebub's the Lord of the flies. And it's around the head, so it's like the in your thoughts, the mental warfare. You know how the devil can just harass you sometimes with all kind of stuff? You can get into vain imagination. You can get into wrong thoughts. Well, just the list is long of what can happen when those suckers are circling your mind. And he said, I saw that happening. And I said, okay, let's pray. You know, let's just pray. We just started praying. You know, and he took off praying. He started praying in tongues. And it grew intense. And it was like what happened to me the next day. It just got really intense. And it's like when he was praying, we just felt things break. You know, and it was just, it was awesome. Then we went on and discussed what he called about. But it was just one of those God-ordained things. And I'm very grateful for that. And the next day when I'm up and that came on me, I did not even think about what had happened the day before. I didn't associate it, but later it came to me. Because it was hard to describe what was happening, but I knew something militant was happening. It was like time to take care of some things in the realm of the Spirit. It was that kind of feeling. And I really believe that what he prayed over me and that kind of cleaned stuff up, you know, cleared it out in the realm of the Spirit, I believe I received an impartation. And what God was up to was for that to be for all of us. And I really believe in that service that day in the realm of the Spirit, there were some things just like mowed down and cleared out and cleaned up and just aligned. You know, I don't know all that happened, but I really feel that kind of thing happened. And I've had people share with me that since that service when that happened, that impact that it had on them. So that goes back again to tie it into this scripture. There are times when there's things the enemy's trying to orchestrate that if we'll pay attention to the Spirit of God, we can step into those moments and release what he's wanting to release and things will change. And I think particularly in the area of praying in the Spirit or in tongues, we know the mind's unfruitful. We literally become, just the Holy Spirit begins to pray through us. And different things can happen. I got ideas of the different ways God might use that. But it is supernatural, it is spiritual, and it does have an impact on us. They prayed, the actual earth shook. That brings us to the last thing I want to share here, is that when we respond in the right way to the opposition, realize it's an opportunity, and get in that place of being able to pray and go before God, then you can experience an open heaven. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, they had already been filled in Acts 2. Isn't that good news? You can get fresh infillings for new battles. You can get fresh infilling for new seasons, for whatever's facing you. It's like the Lord freshly fills us with His Spirit. And I believe, you know, the Holy Spirit lives in the believer, but this infilling results in outpouring where there's a release from the Spirit into our spirit that's released through us, so that we're now operating in the supernatural. And we see that here. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness, verse 33, and with great power. That was a pretty good degree of power when that man who was lame for 40 years started running around and jumping, don't you think? And that created the problem. The devil created the problem, but that made the devil mad and he created the problem, but that was powerful, but now they're getting great power, right? Again, from 110 to 220, great power. And great grace was upon them all. Everybody in the prayer meeting got a download of grace. Great grace. Grace is the desire and the power to do the will of God. They're now better equipped, better enabled to face what the devil's bringing at them. I want you to notice this is a day in the life of the early church. They are unapologetically coming together and calling out to God for healing, for signs, for wonders, for miracles. They were calling on God for the supernatural to manifest. That's what the early church looked like. That's what their prayer meetings looked like. That's what their gatherings looked like. How did we get to a place where we want to divorce the church from the supernatural? It's what made it work. Great power, great grace, testimony of the resurrection of Jesus, the Spirit moving, the church praying. And my goodness, as you read this, the literal manifestation, the earth shaking the building, an open heaven experience, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, a corporate outpouring upon them with more power from the Holy Spirit to flow and operate in their life. There were 2,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. After this, there were 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Great harvest. I hope you see the connection between what they prayed and how the heaven opened up and what started happening. And then it says there was, and this is interesting, when we were up here early and this was happening, I'm thinking, Lord, because the next thing you see in that passage is they began to sell houses and lands and they brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. It was the manifestation of an open heaven. In other words, that hilarious generosity, that death-defying courage, that outrageous grace, all of it's being loosed upon them here in this passage. And mountain-moving faith, because then we're told, you keep reading, they go to the surrounding villages and they find all the sick people and they bring them into Jerusalem, and they were all healed. Some of them, they just laid down by the sidewalk, and Peter would walk by. They just wanted to get in the presence of that anointing he was carrying. It was amazing the things that were happening. And it says, and they were all healed. Now, we're all familiar with how Peter was thrown into jail in Acts chapter 12. James was beheaded. Peter was thrown into jail and the angel delivered him. Did you know after this passage you read through here, all the apostles were arrested and put in jail? All of them. Put in jail one evening. The next morning they're back preaching at the temple. So the leaders go, hey, these guys are supposed to be in jail. They go down to the jail. Well, there's the guards guarding the jail. Where are those guys? They're not here. Well, they're in here. They didn't even know they were gone. The Bible says an angel came and led them out of the jail. All of the apostles. Now, that's open heaven. When angels start opening the door to the jail, that's an open heaven, right? All of this is happening, this supernatural activity, and that's what we want to see for our city. I mean, we want to see that here in Florence. We want to see it at Grace House. And other churches are praying for this too, but you know, we're responsible for here. We contend for what the Lord's called us to do. Wouldn't it be great? Hey, they're bringing them up from Moulton. They're bringing them from Russellville. They're bringing them from Lexington. They're bringing them from Athens. They're bringing them from Savannah. They're bringing them down from Waynesboro, and they're all being healed. Could we dare to believe? Are our prayers powerless? Has God somehow reduced himself since the days of the early church? Or is it we've allowed our faith in what God's word says to wane? We've allowed devils in slick suits to talk us out of our birthright. We were created to live a supernatural lifestyle. Well, we prayed and this didn't happen and that didn't happen and that didn't. You know what? I understand that. I prayed and prayers that I'm still waiting for the answer on. I prayed when things didn't happen and you want to try to figure it out. Let me tell you something. Don't get into that ditch of being disillusioned and disappointed. You just keep praying. And I will guarantee you this, when you start believing and you start asking and you start praying, you will see more answers to prayer than you ever will by just ignoring it, minimizing it, and think that must have been for better days gone by. No, the best days are still to come. Jesus is the Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you're one of those that wants to get into fear instead of faith, or wants to shut down instead of stepping up, or dive into the dumpster instead of going to the throne room, today's the day to make up your mind to ask God to begin to pray like you've never prayed. Let's not forfeit the blessings of prayers that remain unprayed. And hear me well. This group, when they got together, I assure you, the Spirit of God was moving in their midst to reach a conclusion of what to ask God to do. And when you can pray that prayer knowing this is what God desires to do, then the faith will be there. And heaven will breathe. And the heavens will open. There's a growing hunger among some of you. I hear it in your voice. I see it in your eyes. Desperation can be an awesome thing, but don't allow it to become disappointment. Don't give up. You keep praying. You keep believing. And let us see what God has in store for us. Because I believe that Grace House can have what the early church had. As a matter of fact, I believe Grace House already has what the early church had. We just need to roll with it, to go with it, to step into it. And would you stand to your feet? Our worship team is coming. I so appreciate you being here today. But if you are battling opposition of some nature, I encourage you to come as our staff comes, all the workers, leaders that are to be here today. Y'all come on up right now. Come on up right now and be ready. And if you have need of prayer, let's step into this message and pray. Get into agreement. Expect God to move. With God, all things are possible. This is one of our superpowers. Earth-shaking prayer. If we don't believe God will hear an answer, then we're much less likely to pray the prayers that need to be prayed. I would encourage you to make part of your praying, God, show me the prayer I need to pray. Give me the prayer I need to pray. Lead me to the prayer I need to pray. That is so important that we be that specific and be that sensitive. Oh God of miracles, signs and wonders, we come before you right now as a congregation. And Lord, on behalf of any and all here this morning who are hearing the threats of the enemy, it may be coming through the mouth of another person. It could be thoughts raising up in their own minds. We come around that person in the room right now and we say in the name of Jesus, Lord, behold those threats and grant to our brothers, grant to our sisters boldness to overcome, to prevail, to see breakthrough, to be faithful, to do the right thing. I want to tell you something. I believe when those folks opened their mouth and those prayers began moving across their lips, it might as well have been a locomotive train going 100 miles an hour emerging out of a tunnel. Might as well have been that, because there wasn't nothing going to stop what God was about to do. And I hear that long train running. It's coming. It's coming. Shake this people. Shake this place, Lord. Move in our midst. Have your way. We ask for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us right now. Just begin to pray for that. We decree and declare, Lord, that it's for us today. Receive what you need for what you're facing. If you have need of prayer, if you've never been saved, come and confess Christ. We'll pray with you about that. If you need to follow him in baptism, come. We'll pray with you and talk about that. Whatever your need is, your bearing the burden, just step out from where you are right now and make your way to the front. Anyone else, come now. Come.
I love.
Are there others?
I love your presence. I love.
Anyone else? Make your way.
I love your presence.
If there's someone here that you're having some stomach pain this morning, Daniel has a word concerning that. Come and let him pray for you. If you're having that, believe that word's for you and trust God to take care of it. Come and have him pray. Are there others? You make your way up. Wednesday at 6:30.